Hey, Merry Christmas. Woo. Y'all excited? Man, I don't know. There's just kind of some, I think it's because of maybe everything else going on in life that it's like this kind of, I sense it all over town and maybe in this place today and in some of my friends that there's just kind of like this, okay, yes, finally we get to celebrate. We get to have some fun. You know, we get to do some cool stuff. Anybody else? I don't know. Maybe just me. Well, hey, I do want to celebrate something today. I want to congratulate you. I want to praise God for you. For those of you online who are watching up in Building B, for those of you sitting here who came in a couple weeks ago and heard about a need for foster kids in our community that weren't going to have Christmas unless we stepped to the plate. And God put on that tree out in the lobby a bunch of ornaments, like 136 ornaments. Plus some single moms in our community, plus some kids at the American Indian Christian Mission out in Arizona who are in need of funds so that they could buy Christmas presents for their kids. And y'all adopted every single one of those children, 136 of them, yes. Awesome, yep. And they're saying thank you from Arizona for the almost 20 kids that you sponsored. Over $500 was given so that they could have Christmas as well. Just some really cool stuff. So I want to thank Cheryl Lawson and her team for putting that together, the way that God used you to bring the hope of Jesus to some very special people this Christmas, those kids. Thank you for doing that. Praise God. Hey, yeah, this is actually a picture of Jeff's office on Thursday. You can go back a little bit. And we're kind of running him out of his office with all these Christmas presents. There's even more back there, but just to know that that's going to be empty and in the hands of beautiful children in just a few days is pretty incredible. You know, Christmas really is kind of about kids sometimes, isn't it? I mean, if you were a kid and Christmas was special to you, raise your hand. All right, like, I don't know, we had these family celebrations. It was an amazing time. I know that's not everybody's story, but my mom and my dad, they really just invest, they look forward to this, they save, they work hard to make Christmas super special for us when we were kids. And part of that was not just the getting of presents, but the hope, the anticipation, the expectation of what was going to happen on Christmas morning. Anybody remember these catalogs? Yeah, yep, yeah. Nowadays, that's called Amazon, I think. But yeah, we had these wish books. The Sears put out, other stores did as well. And I was actually 9 years old when this one came out. That was the age, right? I mean, I'm like, man. So what we do is we would go through and just make these lists, and the hope would be built on what was inside of that catalog, toys and all kinds of different things like that. And we just make these lists and look forward to Christmas, hoping, anticipating, expecting. And then Christmas Eve would come and we could barely sleep. Anybody else, right? And you're up. I'm not a morning person, except one day a year, all right? So Christmas morning, we come down underneath the tree. It's like party time, celebrate, here we go. Because all of that hope became a reality. Reality, to see those gifts under the tree, to see all of that hope, those expectations come to pass. And I know that's not just the case with kids. I think all of us look forward to Christmas time because of the hope, because of the anticipation. You know, that's what this Christmas series is all about. It's called The Birth of Hope. And we're going to celebrate Christmas over the next few weeks and take a look at what that means to be able to celebrate in this season what God has done for us. Is anybody here good at waiting? I mean, are you like patient people? Like this is like, you're the one that slows down at the green light just so you can catch a red light? No? Look, okay. You need therapy if that's you. Probably because I'm behind you yelling. But waiting's not natural for us. But hope, I think hope is just, it's like this natural and sometimes supernatural way of making the gift and the promise and it that much more special. And to be honest, I think you'll agree with me. We're living in a world right now that needs hope. Amen. We need hope. We want hope. And Christmas is about the reality of hope. Hope becoming reality. And we're not talking about gifts under a tree. We're talking about the Savior of all mankind, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the promise of hope. As we kind of think about that and we understand that over the next few weeks, understand that Christmas is about the birth of Jesus. Yes, hope. Hope for today, hope for tomorrow, hope for all of eternity. To let that sink in. But to also understand that while Jesus came to earth as a baby in a manger, and we'll celebrate that, to understand what we know to be true through God's word, that the God of the universe took on flesh and came to dwell among us. Becoming a baby was part of the incarnation. And Jesus, the Son of God, as he grew up and become a kid and probably had the same hopes and dreams as you did when we were kids, grew up to be a man who would live a perfect life, doing miracles, teaching in perfect ways, doing things that only God could do to prove that he was God, and then dying as a perfect sacrifice for our sins on the cross, to rise again after 3 days dead, to prove that he was God once and for all and forever. Hope, hope. Jesus is the promise of hope. And not just hope for today, but hope for all of eternity. So what is hope? You know, we kind of throw that word around a little bit, don't we? I mean, you know, like we're all hope for different things. What is hope? When we open up the Bible, we see that it's used over 180 times in its root form. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament talk so much about hope. The most common New Testament word means to have expectation with confidence. Expectation with confidence, waiting with the expectation of what is sure or certain. I like to put it this way, because we know what's sure, we know what's certain. Hope is an expectation based on the promises of God. Hope. Expectation based on the promises of God. Just a few minutes ago, Jeff read from Psalm 33, and the psalmist kind of describes this hope, this expectation based on the promise of God when he said, "We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help. He is our shield. In him, our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord." I love that prayer. "May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you." This confident expectation in the Lord. We're going to be talking about hope over the next few weeks. You're going to come across some other amazing passages in Scripture. One, for example, is Romans 15, 13, where Paul says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." I love that because God puts joy in us or hope in us so that it'll come out of us. Hebrews 6, verse 19 and 20 say, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul." It's anchor. It's firm and secure. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Hope. Now, I like to think that I'm a pretty hopeful person, all right? I just am. But if I'm honest, this last year is kind of like, you know, even, you know, there's some that have just kind of like been like, I'm full, like over, you know, just kind of, Can I ask you a question? How hopeful are you today? How full of hope? Is it overflowing? Is it living? You know, I bet if I took a poll that, you know, here in the audience and everybody watched, I bet we'd find out pretty sure that most of us are hoping for a cure. We're hoping for a vaccine that works. We're hoping for the end of COVID-19. We're hoping for the end of racial injustice. We have hope that the election season will finally be over once and for all. I just wonder, is this thing ever going to stop? You know, I'm the least political person in this room, probably. I mean, I just, you know, just it's just kind of not my thing. But even I know, as I've been watching everything happening this last year, that no candidate is capable of keeping the promises that I have heard made this year. No, I mean, it's like, really? You're going to do all that? But we can hope, right? We have to hope. If you're like me, and I think most of us have come across some circumstances in our life where yes, we've just kind of been drained of hope, even just a little bit this year, and you found yourself, like me, maybe your hope tank is just running on empty. Where do we go? Where do we look? Are you looking for some hope? That's why I thank God for Christmas. Thank the Lord for Christmas, and not just for the season, but for the true story of the birth of hope himself. Thank you, Lord, for the true story of the promise of hope that we have in Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for being a God of hope that delivers on his promises, every single one of them. You see, the promise of hope has come to us. That's what we're going to talk about today, that promise of hope. If you've got your Bibles, I want you to go ahead and grab them. Maybe you've got a paper copy like this, or maybe it's on your phone or device. If you're watching online, just kind of open up your Bibles. And what I'd like you to do is thumb to the front, scroll to the front, and find the Old Testament, the front of your Bibles, okay? These are the ancient Jewish scriptures, okay? I want you to look those up. Just kind of thumb through them and look at them. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, you know, back in the front of your Bibles. And when we look at the Jewish scriptures, the Old Testament, we find out very quickly that they tell us of Israel's history with God. And they tell us about a hope that they had in the Messiah. A Messiah who would come and be the Savior, who would be the ruler, who would be their king. A Christ who would restore them to political prominence, who would rule over their people in freedom forever. The Messiah. And the Old Testament is just filled with these promises, promises of hope for the Messiah, promises found in prophecies and family trees. And promises themselves that were kept. In one way, we see the promise of hope throughout the whole Old Testament is in prophecies. Y'all know what that means, prophecies. These are predictions of the future that, and in this case, have come true, which is a phenomenal thing, prophecies. In fact, we've got over 100 prophecies in the Old Testament alone about the future Messiah. Some people have counted up to 300 prophecies about the Messiah to the Jewish people. These predictions, they were written by multiple authors, numerous books over a period of over 1,000 years. We have a discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls. We've got the reliability of the Greek New Testament, the Greek Old Testament, the Septuagint, which was written, by the way, before the life of Christ. And what this shows us is that these prophecies were written before the New Testament times. They weren't made up. Like somebody came around after the fact and did this little dot to dot. No, this centuries before what we're about to see, these prophecies were made. Prophecies, future predictions, hundreds of them. In fact, 60 of these prophecies are called primary ones. They're like front burner prophecies, major prophecies. And they came true, these prophecies, in the form of one person. In one particular time in history. Does anybody want to guess who that one person was? It's incredible. You know, the chance of eight of these prophecies, not 60, not 100 or 300, but the chance of just eight of these prophecies coming true, now I've talked about this before, is 1 in 10 to the 17th power. 8 prophecies coming true about one person. That's 1 in 10 with 17 zeros behind it. And I did a little experiment this week with Jeff in the gym, and Dale, one of my friends, he was putting up a net around the basketball hoop in the gym, and I figured out that from about 20 yards, it took me 10 tries to try to hit Dale with a tennis ball right in the back of the head, all right? Just 1 in 10, 1 in 10, 1 in 10. You know, and I got to thinking about, what are the odds? Like, you know, what are the odds of something happening? You know, if you were to throw something at me from, please don't, but if you have something, if you were to throw something from the balcony down here and try to hit, how many chances would it take you to hit me?
One.
What are the odds? Yeah, sure. Yeah. Nolan Ryan down here. Yeah. So think about the odds. 8 prophecies coming true. 1 in 10 to the 17th power. That is astronomical, almost impossible unless it happened. So when something like this comes to pass, these prophecies, it is miraculous. And we read about these in the Old Testament. And we think about, okay, well, what are these eight? Are there eight prophecies that came true? Yes, 60, 100. But just talking about the birth of the Messiah, there's at least eight. Just the birth. Not the life and the death and the resurrection, but just the birth. Eight different prophecies. In fact, one of those is written in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 7:14. 700 years before Christ, Isaiah says that the Christ would be born of a virgin. It's a prophecy. The Lord himself will give you a sign, Isaiah says. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. 700 years before it actually happened. Another prophet named Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, says that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, a specific place. It says, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, like even just as small as you are, listen, out of you will come for me one who will be the ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Prophecies. Multiple prophecies actually predict that the Messiah would be a descendant of David, King David. 2 Samuel 7, Jeremiah 23, Isaiah 11, and others tell us that the Messiah would come from the house of David. These are prophecies. But they also allude to the family tree, which is another great testimony to the promise of hope. These prophecies found in the family tree of the Messiah. They tell us that the Savior Messiah would emerge from the line of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, going all the way back. The fulfillment of these genealogies would make the coming Messiah obvious when he showed up. We find these genealogies in Matthew 1 and Luke chapter 3. In fact, Matthew 1 lists 28 generations of people connecting Jesus, the Messiah, all through history in his family tree. Matthew 1 says, this is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And his list goes from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, through King David, to Joseph, the father of Jesus, the husband of Mary, who is the mother of Jesus, the Messiah. Matthew chapter 1. The book of Luke goes even further back, past Abraham, to the very first man, Adam. Prophecies, family trees, pointing to the Messiah. Later, God would make and keep these impossible odds, these impossible promises to his people like Zechariah and Elizabeth, to whom he gave these prophecies using angels. These angels would come to Zechariah and Elizabeth and actually predict that they would have a son. He wasn't even born yet, and that his name would be John the Baptist, and he would be the forerunner for the Messiah. Angels would then come and announce this hope, this promise of hope to the virgin named Mary, to her husband Joseph, to shepherds in the field. You guys know the story. Later on, King Herod and faithful Jews like Anna and Simeon would recognize the Messiah because of the prophecies that were given about him. It's just amazing and true. We could talk all day about these prophecies and family trees, but what I wanted to do is just kind of recommend a small resource to you called The Case for Christmas. If you want to go deeper in this, the author's Lee Strobel. This is a 100-page book. You can pick it up for just a couple bucks on Amazon or wherever. Put this on your Christmas wish list, okay? Take a few minutes to read through it. If you are on Right Now Media, if you subscribe through the church, you can go on there. It's free. You can watch the video series called The Case for Christmas by Lee Strobel as well. Again, this kind of, I'm telling you, it's amazing evidence that shows us how these prophecies, these family trees, point to the one and only Messiah, because God made promises, promises of hope through prophecies, family trees, to be fulfilled in a single person at a single time in history, the Old Testament. But at the end of the Old Testament, something happens. You see, after the book of Malachi, the prophet, God's word ceases to be written. I don't have anything else. No prophecies made for 400 years. 400 years silence. Meanwhile, God's people are being oppressed and kept in check by multiple empires, notably the Greeks and then the Romans. And during the Romans' time, this was the time where our biblical New Testament was written. And this New Testament, the backs of your Bibles, you still got them, all right? In the backs, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and further, they tell the story of the Messiah, the Christ, who came and changed the world forever. The birth of hope. Historical accounts written by Matthew and Luke record the story of the Messiah's birth. And I got to tell you, the Christmas story, not very Christmassy. All right? Need to understand this. It's a dark, godless time when the birth of hope came. Palestine, first century, was under the rule of the Roman Empire. It was a place of misery and pain and fear and violence. Not exactly a Hallmark Christmas movie. Like, we needed another Hallmark Christmas movie anyway, okay? But sorry if you're a fan of Hallmark movies, okay? All right? Come on, they're a little cheesy. They all end the same, all right? Let's be honest. Now you're going to throw something. No, don't do that. But think about it, okay? Christmas time. But we'd love to celebrate it. I love Christmas. I already mentioned that. I mean, I love the giving and receiving of gifts, all the shiny things. It's just amazing. I love the decorations and the Christmas lights and sipping on peppermint mocha. I mean, there's just something about the season. We get through these family gatherings and the holiday cheer and all that thing. But you've got to understand, this was not the scene during the birth of the Messiah. And since Christmas is about the Christ, we've got to pay attention to the biblical narrative and what was actually going on at the time. You see, the historical context of the Messiah's coming into this world is a central part of our understanding the Christmas story. And the Bible says that it was in the time of. In the time of. The Kairos, the time when kings were tyrants, where religious leaders and politicians couldn't be trusted, where people were just trying to survive every single day, day-to-day life, just one after the other. And if you fell asleep by now, you're wondering, am I talking about today? It's kind of like one of those things where the more things change, the more they stay the same. There was this hope of the Messiah, hope, anticipation, expectation, hope of being saved, hope of being set free, justice for all. But yet there were wars and there was slavery and there was leader after leader after leader rising up and falling down, holding on to the promised hope for a Savior in the silence, in the darkness. In the time of. In the time of Caesar Augustus, Luke tells us in chapter 2, Caesar Augustus was the emperor of Rome. He was a self-proclaimed god. Things were not good for the Jewish people during the time of Augustus. In fact, he was the one who called for a census that brought Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem. This was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Caesar Augustus, the emperor. Luke 1 and Matthew 2 tells us it was also the time of Herod, king of Judea. This was Herod the Great, as he was known. He was the confirmed by Caesar, and he was the Roman and confirmed by the Roman Senate as king of the Jews. King of the Jews. So when Herod heard that there was another potential king of the Jews, he knew the prophecy had been born. He wanted to do something about it. He wasn't up for that threat. And it was King Herod who ordered that every Jewish male infant in the land be slaughtered. I just want you to imagine that for a second. If a law was passed today that every Christian male baby was to be slaughtered by sundown, not very Christmassy, but that was the time which the promise of hope was born into this world. I don't know about you, but I need to know this today. I need to understand this today, because if I'm not careful, then I can think that along with the Christmas story that promises are only good if my circumstances are good. You see, I've got my list. I've got my wish book. You know, I want my promises of God wrapped up in shiny presents under the tree, you know, and I just want them to come. You know what I mean? I've got my wish list and got just one thing after the next that I hope and I anticipate and I expect. But the truth is, promises aren't always easy to hold on to, are they? they're not always easy to understand. They're not always simple and right there in front of us. This was true, especially in the time of. And right now, today, you may be in one of those times. In the time of. And in those times, hope's not very easy to have, is it? But that's why this context, this story, matters. You see, in these times, especially in those times, the promise of hope is still there. God is still there. In times of darkness, uncertainty, chaos, times when there's pain, times that we don't understand, times where we're like, man, I don't know that I can bear anymore. We rely on the promise of hope, the promises of God. Even when we can't see it and feel it and touch it, we can still expect it and we can still anticipate. We can still know beyond any doubt that God's promises are true. And this is where the promises of hope matter most. See, this Christmas story shows us that it is in the most hopeless of times when God's promises of hope matter most. Believers 2,000 years ago, they learned this. They learned this because after all that time, in that time, for all time, God came through. Y'all, finally, after centuries of waiting for the Messiah, finally, after thousands of years of prophecies and family trees, his promises would come to pass. After years of waiting and anticipating and wondering and looking for the light in the darkness, of hoping and then losing hope over and over and over and over and over again, the promise of hope became a reality. A reality. It was like, so, it's time. It was happening. The time had come. Hope would be born. The Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, holy night, we sing. The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error, pining, longing, hoping, expecting, pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. The song says this, a thrill of hope. A thrill of hope, the weary soul rejoices, and yonder breaks a new and glorious morn because the promise of hope had come. Think about it. Can you just imagine that? The time had finally come in those times. We read about it in Luke chapter 1, where God says this. God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to listen to the prophecies, listen to the family trees, listen to what's going on here. To a town in Galilee, to a virgin, prophecy, pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of David. The family tree, it's all coming to pass, it's happening. The virgin's name was Mary. Verse 28, the angel says, went to her and says, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with, I don't know what angels sound like, but think about that. Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And Mary's greatly troubled. Like, what's going on? Troubled at his words, wonders what kind of greeting this might be. And the angel says to her, don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Like, don't be afraid. There's an angel talking to me. But just catching it. Listen, you will conceive. He's given her a prophecy. You will conceive and give birth to a son. And you are to call him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. This is Messiah talk, a promise of hope. Can you imagine hearing these words after all this time? The Lord God will give them the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants. There's that family tree forever. His kingdom will never end. Well, how will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? And the angel answers, the Holy Spirit will come on you. And the what? Just think about this. We're talking about a miracle. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Could you imagine, like, later on, if this hadn't happened, Mary would have been like, what was he talking about? Like, this is crazy, this promise. But we know what happens, don't we? the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So listen to this Messiah talk. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. The hope of Israel. Hope for all mankind. The time had come. It was happening. Matthew chapter 1 gives us a different account. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, again, this prophecy, she was a virgin. Remember, this is a prophecy, miracle. She was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And because Joseph, her husband, I can't imagine finding this out, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and didn't want her to be exposed to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this option, an angel shows up and appears to him in a dream and says, "Joseph, son of David," just family tree, "do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Figure that one out if you're Joseph. "And she will give birth to a son." Here's another this prophecy. "And you are to give him the name Jesus." Listen to this. "Because he will save." It's Messiah talk. "Save his people from their sins." A glorious morn. Verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah. Remember, Isaiah 7:14, the prophecies come true. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Hold your breath, because the time had come. The promise of hope was here. God is with us. Luke chapter 2, in those days, Caesar Augustus, again, in those days, he issued a decree. The census would be taken in the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. Again, once in a lifetime thing of all time in history, it was now. And everyone went to their own town to register. So guess what happens? Joseph, he goes up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David. Remember the prophecy, Micah 5:2, of all the places in the earth, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David, lining up with his family tree. Joseph went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. He's watching this happen before his eyes. Mary is experiencing this in her own body. And while they were there, verse 6, listen, catch this. While they were there, the time came. The time came for the baby to be born. The time had come. Hope would be born into the world. The Messiah. That hope became a reality. We know on this side of history that the promise of hope is the promise of Jesus. The promise of Christmas is the promise of Jesus. And as we look ahead and we celebrate the birth of hope over the next couple weeks, just to sit and to rest in the promise of God, that he delivers on his promises. He's done it all through history, and he does it still today. Right here, right now. You know, we're going to be talking about this next week, the actual story, and you want to come back for that. You want to see what happens next, but right here, right now, do you understand what this means for us? Because we do need hope. And we have been waiting for Jesus to return for 2,000 years, but I want to tell you, to the Lord, Peter says, a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. And he can come back at any moment, because we know God keeps his promises, just like he did then. Yes, we're waiting, we're longing, we're expecting. And in the meantime, we can count on his promises.
the promises in his word to come to pass. You see, God makes promises to his people, and God gives hope with those promises. But God keeps his promises. So I heard a story this week. Maybe you heard it too, of a husband and a wife. They were Christmas shopping together. And they go to the mall, and she's shopping, you know, kind of like husbands will do sometimes. I know that I'm guilty of this. You know, she's off shopping, and the husband disappears. Where'd he go? An hour passes. 2 hours pass. Time flies when you're having fun. And she's like, whoa, where did he go? So she gets on the phone, and she calls her husband. She's, you know, where are you? Where did you go? And, of course, he's on the other side, and he goes, honey, do you remember 10 years ago when we went to that jewelry store and you saw that necklace that you wanted so bad? Oh, yeah, I remember. Well, yeah, and I told you that, you know, if I had time, and I'll have time, I will save up enough money to buy you that diamond necklace. You remember? Yeah, yes, I remember. Oh, do I remember? Well, I'm in the donut shop next door to that jewelry store. I gotta tell you today, God is not in the donut shop. God is in the jewelry store, y'all. God is there. He is here. And he has made us a promise of hope. And it's not for a diamond necklace. The promise of hope came true in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And our hope is not just in shiny packages on Christmas. Our hope is in the one who came and lived and died and rose again, that we would not perish, but that we would have everlasting life, everlasting hope in his name. We know the Messiah and have eternal hope in him. Do you believe that today? Do you know that's true today? Because if you do, I'm going to ask you to just kind of take this challenge with me along with the Christmas season. First of all, to personally trust in the promise of hope. Inside, you and him, intimate together. This is something that we can lay rest in. We can take a hold of for ourselves. Maybe today is the day that you need. Maybe you showed up today and you heard about Jesus for the first time. Maybe you're watching online. You need to know more about what. You can claim the promise of hope for all of eternity in Jesus today. To forgive your sins, to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. When you're baptized into Christ, to have a brand new life in him. Once and for all and forever. Our prayer team's going to be up front. We'll be glad to talk to you after the service if that is a decision that you want to make today. Or maybe today you're a Christ follower and you're just like, you're on empty when it comes to the hope tank. And truth be told, maybe it's because of the season. Maybe it's because of the times that we're living in. Maybe it's Christmas itself, this whirlwind of life. Do you need hope today? I want to encourage you this week, in fact, starting today, to go home and to spend some time resting and celebrating the promises of God. Do a Google search. Look in the back of your Bible. Look up the promises of God and just read through those. Next time you go to your small group, read those promises of God. Ask a person who's next to Jesus in your life, a disciple maker, say, hey, show me the promises of God, and take time to read them and to celebrate, to lay hold, to rest, and to have those promises in your heart. It's a promise of hope. Take time this week to kind of wrestle yourself away from the distractions and stop. Take a deep breath. Look around and see the blessings. Be thankful. And maybe today you're hurting. And maybe today there's pain in your life that just made hope really hard. Really hard to have. Can I tell you today that from the inside out, you can give your hurt and your pain to God. He's big enough to handle it. Pull away and let him know what you feel. Be honest with God. He loves you. He's going through those times with you. The promise of hope is real. Come away and be with him, and then celebrate and praise his name because his promises are true. And I think just as we personally trust in God, we can also outwardly share the promises. So we inwardly trust in the promises and we outwardly share the promises. And I don't think there's a better time of the year than right now to share the promises of hope that we have in Christ with someone else. And I hope you'll do that this week. I'm gonna ask you to get creative. Maybe fill out a Christmas card this week and personally write a note about your hope in Jesus and then hand deliver it to someone. Maybe send it in the mail, but don't forget, include the hope. Maybe this is the time of year where you bake some cookies and take them to your neighbor. Can you still do that? Take them, knock on the door, say, hey, look, I just wanna tell you I care about you and be creative. Share the hope of Jesus with all people. Jeff talked earlier about these Christmas invites. This is the time. Invite your friends and family members to the Christmas Eve service in just a few days. Invite them to come. And when you give them a card, don't just hand them a card. Give them another gift card. Take them out to eat. This is where you want to deliver the cookies. Give them a card with it. Put it in your Christmas card. Be creative and share the promise of hope that you have in Christ. And I don't think there's a better way than right now to stand and to sing and to celebrate. If you need to rest, take a deep breath, do so during this song. We need to make this our prayer today as we stand and we sing. So let's do that together. And let's just rest and understand and know the promise of hope that God has given to us. Heavenly Father, you are amazing and we love you. Thank you for loving us first. Thank you. Thank you for these scriptures where for centuries people looked for Jesus, the Messiah, and he came and the promise came true. The hope was born. And God, ever since that time, we've been celebrating and understanding and responding to your answer to that promise. And God, right now here today, we want to respond even more. So God, I would pray that we would respond with our lives. Maybe there's someone here today that needs to take a hold of that promise, the promise of eternal life once and for all. God, I pray that you would work on their heart and bring them today to you. God, I pray that you would work with us as a church. God, we celebrate all those foster kids and single moms and kids in Arizona that were sponsored over the last couple weeks. We want to be a generous people so that we can share the promise of hope with all people. So thank you, God, for loving us, for giving us this time together, and for the promise of hope that we have in Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.